Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a
two big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Talking about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. So we are getting going this morning, and what a show we have for you. Every Monday morning, wait a minute, it's April the 15th. Can you believe it's April the 15th already? Wow. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. And I just want to say, over the weekend, I went to a homegoing ceremony for a wonderful woman of God. And I went to Susan Miller Dorsey High School. My mom went to Susan Miller Dorsey High School. My kids went to Susan Miller Dorsey High School. I believe that's Chandra Daniels. Good morning, Chandra Daniels. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, Darlene Anderson. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And everybody's coming into the room. Please tag 10 people. But over the weekend, I went to a homecoming ceremony, and at Susan Miller Dorsey High School, or no school in the LA Unified School District, had a kitchen, a home economics kitchen, where they taught cooking. Mrs. Marzette, a wonderful woman of God, and this is a picture of Mrs. Marzette. If you could see her, if you could see her, that's Mrs. Marzette. And she did something that nobody did. She started a home economics cooking class, state-of-the-art, everything, all ovens, microwaves, everything you needed to do it in the LAUSD. She did it at Susan Miller Dorsey High School, and that was her fight for the kids. And she took not only my daughter, Shadonna, up under her wing, but other students, hundreds and thousands of students. And now my daughter is a chief chef working on ships that all over the world. And it started at Susan Miller Dorsey High School. So I want to send a shout out to Miss Marzette. And I was honored to speak at her homegoing celebration. Hey, Chandra Daniels. Chandra Daniels said good morning on this Miracle Monday. What a blessing to see another day. And for that, I am grateful. And I agree with you 110%. We have so much to be grateful for. Amen. Mary, Darlene Ann said Mary Johnson was doing parent U-turns. And she just passed. Oh, well, we want to shout out Miss Mary Johnson, who was also working with the kids. But Miss Marzette did some amazing testifying feats. I want to send a shout out to Mr. Marzette, Dr. Marzette. And thank you for allowing me to come and speak at such a prestigious homegoing celebration. A lot of the, matter of fact, my daughter, along with all the cooking students in our class, came together and prepared the meal for the repast. And it was wonderful, well organized, and all the food was so good. So I just want to send a big shout out to Shadonna, my daughter. I want to send a shout out to Ebony, Pam, and everybody who worked back there, and all the students from Susan Miller Dorsey who came back, including Edward and all of the guys and girls. What a wonderful homegoing celebration it was. Let's not forget Dr. Reverend Cecil Chip Murray. His homegoing celebration will be coming up soon, so stay tuned. Listen to your radio at KGLH. Watch the news, and you'll know. I know that they're going to have his body laying in wait at First AME Church, and that information, if you want to find out more, just go to YouTube or Google it or call First AME Church, Los Angeles, and find out his body will be laying in wait. We can go and view him, and he should be honored in that way. He did a lot of civil rights work. I was under his tutelage at First AME for over 30 years. And I want to send a big shout out to my buddy Virgil Johnson, who will be joining us today on the show. And we have special guests on the show coming on in a little while. We have some interesting topics for you. But before we get deep into that, I want to get in the studio our co-producers. One of them is none other than Vera Jones. Vera Jones, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, co-host and all the listeners. I am wonderful on this beautiful, beautiful sunny day.
Amen. Praise God. It's a beautiful Monday, isn't it, Vera? And without further ado, our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, Dr. Granny V. Good morning to the panelists who are coming on, but especially good morning to our guests and all our wonderful listeners once again. Here we go, Pastor Eddie, the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show. I'm buckled in. I'm ready. Let's roll.
Amen. Good morning. Oh, go ahead, Vera.
I was saying good morning to Clarence.
Clarence, Vera, say good morning. Are you there, Brother Clarence?
Good morning, Dr. Granny V. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, before we get our special guest into the studio, Some things happen on, I'm going back to Resurrection Sunday. I've been preaching a series every Sunday. My church service comes on every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. It's called The Church, The Sermon with Pastor Eddie Jones. And if you didn't hear it since April, the first Sunday in April, we've been preaching about the temptation of the flesh and how the flesh can tempt you. And it can tempt you with drugs, alcohol, food, foul language, and if we, the flesh is, so yesterday our series is about how to overcome the temptation of the flesh. And God knows when I see ice cream and cake, I like to eat it. But I have to know that I can't let my temple be tempted by the ice cream and the cake, because I know that it's bad for me, because too much sugar is not good for anybody. But I do get tempted when I see some cheesecake or German chocolate cake or a homemade fresh peanut butter cookies with peanut butter morsels inside and little peanuts in there too. And, you know, it's tempting. With a glass of good old carob chocolate milk, you know. But I have to realize that, you know, and so I have to say, hey, God, you know, help me. And so this situation right here, there's two situations I just want to really quick go on before we get into our regular segment. One of them was, and I don't know what's going on with all these pastors. If you're going to be a pastor, you've got to be a pastor all the way 100%. In Mississippi, at Abbeville East St. Peter's Baptist Church, at East St. Peter's Baptist Church, a pastor by the name of Ricky Scott was married to his wife, and his flesh must have got to him because he was having an affair with a young lady named Yolanda, and Yolanda came to the church on Easter Resurrection Sunday, 9 months pregnant, and confronted him and his wife at the church. Well, had he not been committing adultery, that wouldn't have never happened. But his flesh overcame him, and it allowed him to get into a situation that he should not have been in, okay? So I'm just giving an example of how we need to tame our flesh. Of course, that didn't go good. If you want to watch the YouTube, go to YouTube and pull up East St. Peter Baptist Church on Resurrection Sunday, and you'll see the entire fight. I said the entire fight at the church. Yes, it got way out of hand. And this should never happen in any church. But these days that we're living in is full of the devil's work. So we have to stay prayed up. That's right. And Darlene said, I've seen so many of those little short skirts, so dysfunctional, who choose the relationship status in America. And they come to church like that now. They come to church wearing some weird stuff. A second topic I want to go to really quick. This is just a short testimony as we're going deeper into the show. New Generation Church in Dallas, Texas, on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, a youth pastor by the name of Denzel Branch, he was a youth minister. He was a youth minister at that church since 2018. And his wife was Brianna Branch, and they were there at the church since 2018. He was a youth minister. Come 2023, for some reason, she started wanting to get a divorce from her husband, Denzel Branch. Come to find out, she was having an affair in the church with the pastor's son named Joshua Andrews. And Joshua Andrews was an organist and key player of the church. Now, Denzel and Joshua, they were friends. At least they thought they were friends, until he found out that this is the guy that his wife was messing around with, which ended up them getting a divorce, which ended up them going to church on Easter Sunday. The last sermon that Denzel Branch preached was Good Friday, right before Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday came, they had a beautiful service, they danced around the church, they praised God, and it got into a confrontation when Joshua went and put on an all-white suit to take pictures with Denzel Branch's wife and kids. Well, that didn't go over with the youth minister very well. He didn't want his kids in the picture. So he confronted the guy at the church in the parking lot. They got into a verbal confrontation. which led to the youth minister trying to get his kids out of the in the car, out the picture, and he ended up punching Joshua Andrews, which was the pastor's son, the keyboard player. The keyboard player pulled out a gun in front of the kids and in front of the Brianna, his ex-wife, and shot the youth pastor. And then he got out of the car and chased the youth pastor down the street in front of all the church members, in front of everybody on the street, and shot him several more times until he was dead. Don't let the flesh lead you. You lead the flesh. That's what I'm talking about right now. And that's what I'm saying right now. And my heart goes out to Denzel Branch and his mother and his children, because his children witnessed this horrific killing, assassination of their father. I'm sure that Breonna Branch did not expect for her divorced husband to be killed in that manner in front of the kids. And she's never going to live it down. Now, because she committed this type of adultery and he was committing that type of fornication, now she doesn't have the father because he's dead, her husband. And then the guy she was messing with, he's gone to prison now, going to prison for at least 30 years because he chased the man down and killed him, which shouldn't have never happened. What are you doing with a gun at church anyway? Why do we have guns at church? I understand that the church is a hospital for sinners, and some people are in intensive care, but this is redundantly, unfortunately ridiculous that someone had to die at the church because of a triangle, a love triangle, and adultery and fornication going on, which is the flesh. And that's what makes me do the series on the flesh for the month of April, because it needs to be talked about, because people are getting murdered and women are walking in the church 9 months pregnant, confronting the pastor and his wife and fighting in the aisle and all over the church. That kind of ruckus, if God was here now, that would never happen. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back in a twinkling of an eye. He said, I'm coming like a thief in the night, so we better get ready, because these are all the signs that something is about to happen. What is going to happen, we don't know, but something is about to happen. With that being said, I want to go real quick to Clarence and Malin. Clarence and Malin, take the floor. I want to get your take on what you just heard. Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes, you know, it's been, you know, ever since Jesus, has been violence in the church and even before that time, so. When we see these violent acts, you know, don't let it upset you in a way that, like, nothing is supposed to happen. Now, I can say this, and this might shock a lot of people, but preachers inside the church preach from this thing called the pit.
Mm-hmm.
They put a word in front of it called the pulpit.
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that out, not to say anything bad, but it's just some food for thought about how we have allowed the Europeans to set up our spiritual lifestyle and practice of worship and praise. And I just, you know, my personal opinion, I think there are some things that need to be really thought about, mm-hmm. you know, and looked at in a way to reconstruct certain things on how this religion called Christianity is practiced, because, you know, this here, man, we look at the Catholic Church, how a lot of them have took advantage of children and even babies. So, you know, this practice for this goodness of God, there is those who have allowed to use it for their evil deeds and uses. It's phenomenal.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Brother Clarence. I appreciate that. And before I go to Vera, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, Sister Darlene Anderson on Instagram said, this is America, and you have to judge a person by the content of their character, as you can see how they You know, she's, and this is true. If you're going to church to praise God, there should be no other reason for you to be at church except for to praise God and give God the glory. We know that the church is a hospital for sinners, and people are coming in there. But when the way you come to church is what's really important. If you come in and you know you got on a spandex full bodysuit and you come to church, well, you know what? That's not right. If you come in there dressed like you, you know, just come. I know that God said in the Bible says, come as you are, but you got to have a little tack in the way that you want to come and praise God. And this is why we were talking about temptation. But with that being said, we're almost about to get ready to go into our first topic. But before we do, Vera Jones, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, take the floor. What do you think about what happened to Denzel Branch being shot down at the church on Resurrection Sunday? And then the other church in Mississippi where, let me get this right, the other church in Mississippi where Pastor Ricky Scott was in a nine-month affair with Yolanda, and she came to the church and confronted him 9 months pregnant in front of his wife at the church. I just want to ask you, how do you feel about that? Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Well, Eddie, I'm saddened to hear about both incidents because not only did it affect the families, but the entire congregation. And for someone to lose their life like that, the family is really hurt, and it's really sad to hear. So just prayers for everyone that was present and for everyone that heard and just hearing right now.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Vera. I want to send a big shout out to the Branch family and to everybody involved. I want to send a shout out to Joshua Andrews, who took the gun and killed the man, but I'm still praying for him anyway because he's going to need a lot of prayer because the rest of his life is going to be spent in prison. But also, too, I want to send a shout out to Pastor Ricky Scott, that whatever the differences that happened at the church, that they all get worked out. And, you know, we're going to leave that right there, and we're going to move on. I want to make a phone call real quick. You know, we make phone calls on the show. Let's call. Let's see if we can get someone in the room here with us, and we're calling all the way to Texas. Da da da! You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. No. All right, all right, all right. It's ringing. It's ringing. Okay, we're going to come back to that phone call in a little bit. That we're going to talk about, thank you, Praise Luia, and Mary Biz. How are you, Mary? And Praise Luia radio show, they're in the house. I'm going to go right to our first topic is going to be, and this is going to be kind of interesting, so I want to hear what you guys have to say. I was going to do our first topic, but I'm going to do our second topic. Let's talk about the life and the legacy of the one and only or Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, a.k.a. The Juice, number 32, and a movie actor, and so many other things that he did. But here's why we want to talk about him today, because a lot of the angry Caucasians are going after O.J. Simpson saying, I'm so glad he's dead. Well, they're saying they're glad he's dead, they're glad he died off. And, you know, some people can be so hateful. And they forgot about all the great things that O.J. Simpson did. Did you know that O.J. Simpson gave a lot of money to charity? Did you know that he fed a lot of homeless people? Did you know that he gave money to stuff overseas that we don't even know nothing about? But if you study it and you just quit looking at the O.J. case, and quit just looking at what happened with Nicole Simpson. And look at the history of Nicole Simpson. She wasn't no angel. She was using cocaine. She was doing a whole lot of behind-the-scenes stuff we have no idea about. Now, I just want to go right there first. Our first topic is going to be, let's talk about the life and the legacy of the one and only Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, a.k.a. The Juice. And let me tell you something. This guy was the baddest running back that ever hit the field at USC University. He made USC University a whole lot of money. Further, he went to the Bills, to Buffalo Bills, and he ran like nobody ran before. Matter of fact, none of his records have been broken yet. Even in death, he still holds the best record as a running back in the NFL, even to this day. So it was another side to him, just besides him getting in trouble and going through whatever he went through. He was a human being. The lady who killed let me go to Clarence M. Allen real quick. Clarence M. Allen, this is our opening. I'm going to come back because I don't want to say what I want to say yet. I'm going to save that for a whole nother part. But I want to, Clarence, take the floor. What do you think about the life and the legacy of O.J. Simpson, Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, actually the Juice? And they called him the Juice because he had the juice on the football field. And not only that, he was an actor. He did a whole lot of movies. For y'all who don't know all the movies that he played in 1975, he was on Saturday Night Live. He did a lot of comedies and musical. He played on a show from 1988 to 1995. He played on a TV show called In the Heat of the Night, if you remember In the Heat of the Night. He did a series of movies, which was comedy, called The Naked Gun from Fouls of Police Squad. He did Roots, the movie Roots in 1977. He did the movie Towering Inferno in 1974. He did Naked Gun 33 and one-third, the final in 1994. The Naked Gun 2 1/2, The Smell of Fear in 1991. He did Dragnet from 1967 till 1970. And there's so many other TV shows and movies that he played in that they're not talking about that. They're talking about the case, the O.J. Simpson case, and that there's more to this man than just the O.J. Simpson case. The O.J. Simpson case just happened to be a part of his life. But here's what I want to tell you that I know that you already know. One of the best attorneys in the whole wide world ended up taking O.J.'s case, and that was Mr. Johnny Cochran. Attorney at law Johnny Cochran, who made history not only in the United States in law, but around the world in law. And it stands to this extreme very day. Number one, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of all charges. Number two, O.J. Simpson was found not guilty. Okay, and let me make another historical thing that I want you to know. The blood that was planted in his car, the whatever many drops of blood, which was only drops of blood, because if you're going to kill somebody, blood's going to be on your shoes, on your hands, and everything else. He had a light-colored material inside of his vehicle where they supposedly found drops of blood. Well, guess where the drops of blood came from? They found out later that Mark Furman, a investigator for the Los Angeles Police Department, planted the blood. He stole the vials of blood and dropped the blood in OJ's car. They found out later, which took away all credibility from the LAPD, which was the ones who were investigating him and helping to press charges against OJ Simpson. So what happened? In the case, one of the greatest cases in the world, it separated people. African-American and Caucasian whites were standing on each side of the room right before the verdict. I remember it and I'll never forget it as long as I'm living. And it was something that O.J. Simpson, he had a look in his eye like, he didn't know what was going to happen. But Johnny Cochran said, if it does not fit, you must acquit. And that was the statement of the century. No attorney in the world ever came up with a statement such as that. And the glove did not even fit O.J. Simpson's hand. So it wasn't applicable to him. If it does not fit, you must acquit. So with that being said, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Brother Clarence, please take the floor and tell us, what do you feel about the O.J. case? And what do you feel about O.J. as an actor, as a running back, as a human being, as a father? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
Yes, Pastor Eddie, and to all the panelists and our listeners, O.J. Simpson, He was born in July 1947, and he passed away this past week, April 10th. Lived to be 76 years old. And during his time at USC and even during his pro career, he was one of my favorite running backs. There was nobody who could run the ball. I mean, we had phenomenal running backs with Jim Brown and Peyton and there were others during that time. But O.J. Simpson had a powerful style of his own as a running back, and what spiritually connects me with O.J. Simpson was Coach Prelo. Coach Prelo down in Watts at Ted Watkins Park, which was Will Rogers at that time, was a football coach, and I was a running back at the park, and I think I was a pretty good running back, and he called me O.J. You know, that always gave O.J. Simpson a real special place with me.
Right.
And so now look at his career. I think about him running through the airport with the Hertz commercial.
He remember put Hertz
on the map with
yes,
that
he
commercial.
Did.
I think, you know, that commercial put everybody wanted to rent a car that was able to from Hertz. But in this country, especially if you're a black man, it doesn't matter how much good you do. If you make one mistake, this country will put a magnifying glass over you and a light and enlarge that mistake and put such a brightness on that mistake where it can overshadow all your great achievements in this nation. And so we shouldn't allow that to happen, especially when you look at the reverse. And if you're white, look at this guy run. All the evil he does, and they make it to be a good thing. You know, this guy is in court now in a criminal court case. But when we look at O.J. Simpson, he assembled the greatest team of attorneys in the history of this America. They called it the Dream Team. The NBA followed that up with the basketball team for the Olympics, the Dream Team. So this O.J. Simpson, this Orenthal James Simpson, he just was a phenomenal man. It just lifts my spirit and brings me joy just to have this opportunity, Pastor Eddie, and our panelists and listeners just to speak of O.J. And when we look at the time that he was charged with those murders, that during that time was international cases that happened in that time. We had the Rodney King thing, and then we had this other guy, O.J. Simpson. And
yes,
they both shined a light on the racism, the disparities, the discrimination, the prejudices of the Los Angeles Police Department. And when you just mentioned Mark Furman was found guilty of planting evidence to make him look guilty, and when I look at the attorney, I'm so spiritually joyed, Johnny Cochran. When he put that beanie on,
oh yeah,
in the court to be. He didn't put it. He put it on like a criminal, just slapped it on, and then had OJ to put this baby glove on here. Put this on.
Hmm.
And his hand couldn't get in there. I mean, he was working that glove. He was working that glove. And so, man, when we look at the life of OJ, man, God bless his family, his children. He has 4 or 5 kids. You know, he lived a more remarkable life. You know, when we look at our black celebrities, our black stars, especially men, there's very few who was able to go on. There are some, but there was few who were able to, you know, just live the wealthy life, the celebrity life, without, I mean, a jaywalking ticket would shine a light to make them look bad. We look at Bill Cosby, we look at James Brown, Wesley Snipes, and the list can go on and on. You know,
Rodney
King, they made him a celebrity, you know, and man, we'll never forget. But in loving memory and our sincere, deepest sympathies and condolences to the entire Simpson family and friends. Thank you, Pastor Eddie.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's give a big hand for Clarence. Thank you for the Clarence. And right before I go to Vera, I want you to know I ended up working with O.J. Simpson on 2 occasions. The first occasion was his book that he wrote called I Want to Tell You. In 1995, he wrote a book called I Want to Tell You by O.J. Simpson, his response to the letters and the messages that he received saying that he committed the murder, and he didn't. And he got found not guilty, and he was acquitted of all charges. Hey, Sister Felita, First Lady Felita Wilkes, thank you for joining us. Good morning to you. And she said, good morning, beautiful children of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for you. And praise Luya. Radio show is on. Thank you so much for joining us. And Mary Bisk and everybody else who's on with us. And Darlene Anderson and every. Thank you, guys. Well, OJ had his person to call me. And they called me, and they're not answering. They called me and said, "Hey, somebody wants to talk to you, and it's a very important phone call." I said, "Well, who is it?" They said, "It's Mr. O.J. Simpson." I said, "What? Are you serious?" Now, I at that time I was doing my work, and he got on the phone and he said, "Look, I want to get my book. I want you to do a press conference about my book." I said, "Really? Yeah." So I did the press conference about his book, and that helped his book sales a lot, because they weren't allowing him to promote his book. And he promoted his book through my press conference that we did at that time, the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. And I told people he had a civil right, a constitutional right, and a human right to promote his book like anybody else. And people bought that book, okay? And not only did he do that book, but he also did other books that he wrote. And then the second time when he called me was when he got into the incident with the memorabilia in Las Vegas, and he didn't call me directly. Again, he had his person, you know, whoever his person was, to call me. And they said, "Yeah, we got Mr. O.J. Simpson on the line. He wants to talk to you, Mr. Jones, you know." And he came on and he said, "Look, I might have some things going on. I wanted to know if you could do a press conference on my behalf." And this time I said, "You know, I will speak on, you know, but I, you know, I won't be able to, you know, do everything that you want me to do." But Sister Darlene Anderson, excuse me, says people are always going to want to know they don't know, or know they don't, and just the way that life goes. That's why we have education, and that's my people, right? Books. And, oh, exactly. That's so true. Right. I know. And so what I'm telling you today is I actually worked with O.J. Simpson, and he was a regular human being like any other human being. And a lot, like I said, a lot of people don't know the charity work that he did, the hospitals that he gave money to, the kids that he fed that were hungry. The money he sent overseas to help less privileged people that were less as privileged as him. And a lot of people don't know what all he did. All they know is the O.J. Simpson case. Well, look, he did his time for whatever he did. But what I'm really happy to know is that he passed away with his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren around him, in his room with him, as he was transitioning from this life onto the next life. And that says a whole lot. And then a lot of Caucasian people had the audacity to say, I'm happy OJ's dead. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people said that when Carolyn Bryant, you know who Carolyn Bryant was? She's the white woman who accused Emmett Lewis Till of whistling at her, and she lied. Well, guess what? When she died, there were some African Americans said, I'm so glad she's dead. I mean, I read all the comments, and there were a lot of comments where people were saying, I'm glad she's finally dead. She should have been dead a long time ago. And well, guess what? Nobody is the judge of anybody. The only judge is God. We can judge from a human standpoint, but the real judge is God. Even the judge in the courtroom don't have the power that God has. So who are we to judge? Okay. All right, so with that being said, let's go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Tell us how you feel about the life and the legacy of O.J. Simpson. Wait, before you, okay, go ahead. I see the caller in the 832-445. Hold on, don't go anywhere. We're going to get right to you in just a moment. Hold on, I'm so glad you called in. Go ahead, Vera, take the floor. What do you feel about the life and the legacy of O.J. Simpson?
We will always remember the history, the legacy, and what took place during his life as he lived here on planet Earth. And that includes the trials and tribulations, the great things, the not-so-great things, and I can say may he rest, you know, in peace.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Vera. Thank you so much. All right. Now, First Lady Felita Will said amen to that, to everything that I said. See, we got to remember, this ball rolls on both sides of the street. What's up, Brother Ernest Winters? Man, from the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, my brother, welcome to the show. So good to see you, my brother. We're talking about O.J. Simpson, but before I do, I want to get someone, one of our special guests on the show, all the way from Texas, and let me just give you a little bit about our next guest. Her name is Sandy Ray from Kingwood, Texas. On April 8, 2024, Sandy traveled to Hillsboro, Texas to witness the solar eclipse, also known as the Great North American Eclipse. And so we're going to have her on in just a minute. Matter of fact, let's get her on right now. Good morning, Sandy. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. Good morning, everyone.
Everybody say good morning to Sandy.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
All right, amen. Let's give Sandy a big hand. Now, Sandy, we're going to just talk a little bit. We're going to switch over to your subject in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Please stay with us. We definitely want to hear from you. We're talking about O.J. Simpson right now, and let me read the topic to you one more time. Let's talk about the life and the legacy of the one and only Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, a.k.a. The Juice, number 32, a movie celebrity, and a whole bunch of other things. A lot of people focus on the O.J. case, but guess what? Baddest attorney in the world said, if it does not fit, you must acquit. Not only did he do that, he tried the glove on O.J.'s hand. It didn't fit. They found out that Mark Furman from the LAPD planted blood inside of O.J.'s car, which took away all credit from what the LAPD was doing, because what they were doing, they were trying to set him up for failure. But what a mighty God we serve. Don't forget that the O.J. case was one of the biggest cases of the century. Not only was it the biggest case, he put the Bronco on the face of everybody started buying Broncos after he drove across the freeway on a freeway chase in a Bronco. Everybody started buying Broncos. O.J. set he set precedence at the field on USC when he played for USC University. He was the fastest running back And then he left there and played for the Buffalo Bills, and then he got into acting, and I told you all the movies that he's been in. He wasn't just a normal guy at all. But let me tell you something. A lot of people said that some organized crime figures killed Nicole Simpson and the guy that was in there with her because she owed them money for large amounts of cocaine and narcotics. And look at the history of Nicole Simpson. She was not an angel. And I'm not saying, I'm not here to judge her, but we're on a civil rights talk show right now where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we can't fall for nothing. And on our show, we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Amen. So when I think about all those people who say, well, you know, I'm glad that O.J. Simpson is dead. Here's a knockout punch for you.
What?
Here's a knockout punch for you, a slap in the face. Okay? Okay. So, no, nobody should. What if we all wished that Carolyn Bryant, who said that Emmett Till whistled at her and got Emmett Till hung and castrated and killed, what if we were all like, I'm so glad she's dead. Well, guess what? God took care of all of that. God took care of every battle on whoever did what. God's going to have the last word. Hey, we're going to leave that right there. I just want to ask Sandy. And Sandy, give us just your own opinion. Did you follow O.J. Simpson at all in his time of football?
No, not really. I mean, see him on commercials every now and then.
Did you ever see him on the Hertz commercial when he jumps over the thing and he runs and he put Hertz on the mat? Wow, you know how much money he made on that commercial? That was amazing. He did a lot of good things. A lot of people don't know. But when they said, if it does not fit, you must acquit, when Johnny Cochran said that, and I'll never forget it because I was at work and everybody was separated in that office and it was quiet in there. What do you think about him being acquitted and not being charged with murder? Just your opinion.
I thought that the way the case was handled by pretty much everyone from the autopsy, the police, everything was sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do a good job. So
I agree with you on that. Matter of fact, this is how much I agree with you on that. I was so happy when they found out that Mark Furman planted the blood in his vehicle. I was really like, okay, now the truth is starting to come out. And I agree with you 100%, Sandy. The case was done real sloppy. Hey, Grace, I see you out there. Grace, thank you for joining us, Grace. God bless you. So let me, we're going to come back to the OJ case before we close out because I want to send a shout out because I know a couple of his kids and I want to send a shout out to his kids, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren, that they were there around his bed. Now, just yesterday, I read an article because the person that's going to be over the O.J. estate is making sure that Ron Goldman and the family don't get nothing but a dollar, $1. So if they try to contest his will at any time, they're only going to get $1. Unfortunately, they would even try to go after him in death. But the fortunate thing is they have the right attorneys working on his will, which he was able to write out before he died. And so the Goldmans won't be getting anything but $1, 100 pennies. Okay, so let's leave that right there. I want to go to our first topic, but we brought the second topic first because we didn't have our special guest on. Sandy. Our first topic is special guest Sandy from Kingwood, Texas. Let's find out what Sandy saw in the sky. Let's review the Great North American Eclipse. Now, if you go on, by the way, if you want to call into the show, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue. I'll get you on. You can ask a question, make a statement, whatever you want to do. Or you can look at me live on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram and Facebook Live at Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook and Instagram live. However, if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions with an S, and you can see the pictures of the eclipse. You can see a lot of pictures of everybody on the show and our team of co-producers on the show as well. But with that being said, Sandy, just give us a little bit about you and why you like camping and why you like eclipse and all that good stuff. Please take the floor, Sandy. Welcome. Tell us all about it.
Okay. I got into camping when my boys were little. Mm-hmm. I tried to get them interested in doing different things like photography and camping and just getting away from the video games. So I would pack them up and we'd drive wherever, a national park or a campground, and we just hang out in nature.
Wow,
that's how
amazing.
All of that started. So every year I try to plan us a little trip somewhere, and it was fun.
Wow.
And you don't see many of us out there.
Well,
I think now more and more people, but yeah, you guys just don't know what you're missing.
Amen. Now, you know, camping is so fun because you get to sleep under the stars, the nature of it all. However, you have a love for the solar eclipse, and this was your third time, if I'm not mistaken, traveling to witness the solar eclipse. Tell us all about why you love the eclipse and how many times have you gone to see it and what's so special about it to you?
I don't know. It's just something about the thought of the planets lining, the moon, the sun, and the earth lining up and the shadow falling over the earth. It's like the hand of God. It's letting you see the hand of God in action. We know all that stuff is up there rotating around, but we never think about it until, you know, we can actually physically see something. And there's nothing like seeing an eclipse.
Well, when on April 8th, give us your itinerary for getting, because I know you weren't going to miss it for anything in the world, but what was your itinerary for getting to the eclipse? Go right ahead, take the floor.
Well, I know how, you know, eclipses or anything that's pretty special like that, you know, people are going to want to see it. This was like almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for some people. But, you know, I had to plan. I was planning last year, looking around for hotels, trying to find where it was going to be darkest, the longest. You know, you have to kind of be strategic in where you want to be. You want to try to avoid all the traffic and stuff if possible. So I was going to go a little closer to me, but the hotels were so high, they were all sold out, that I decided on going out a little. So it was an easy 3-hour drive, but it was well worth it.
Well, you know, my one of the people on Facebook Live, Grace Love, said, "I wish I was able to see it." We know that you saw the eclipse, so tell us what is the feeling when you see, and how long did it last? Just take the floor and just take your time and tell us all about it.
You know, it started off cloudy. It was cloudy. Here in Houston, it was actually drizzling, so I don't think they could really see it. And where I went, it was cloudy, and they were saying, oh, probably not going to see it. It's like 80% cloud cover. But as the eclipse got closer, the sky cleared up, and it was beautiful. And it's nothing I can really say to describe how you feel. It's almost like it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Some people have a spiritual feel.
Yes.
For me, I think it was more spiritual because it's like you can actually see how God, all this stuff that he created, how it all, it's working whether we're thinking about it or not. So.
Wow. So did you feel any type of energy? I mean, when the final eclipse took place, Well, did you feel any type of special energy or spiritual, like did you get the Holy Ghost chills, or what did you feel when you saw the full entire eclipse?
I just felt, you know, overwhelmed. I was in awe.
Wow.
I was in awe.
And I know you got some good pictures. Did you use your cell phone or did you use a camera to get the pictures?
I used my cell phone. I took my camera, but I just, at the last minute, I didn't feel like being bothered with it, so I just took my cell phone.
Now, that's
beautiful. They came out pretty good. But when I went to Nebraska in 17 to see the eclipse, I used my camera and my cell phone. I took my youngest son, and that was fun, too.
Now,
so I'm already looking forward to the next one. I don't know if I'm going to go, but I'm looking forward to it.
Now, when is the next one?
I think the next one is going to be like in 26, but the place I'm looking at going is Egypt.
Wow, you're going to go to Egypt to see the eclipse?
I'm thinking about it.
I want to go too.
I've been doing my research. I've already started.
Oh my gosh, Egypt, that's wonderful. Make sure you keep us abreast of your, you know, because I, of course, we want to interview you on that 2027, all the way to Egypt, and then you can see the pyramids while you're there, and the Sphinx, and
yeah.
Camp, and all those good things. If somebody had never seen an eclipse before, and you would tell them how, because Grace Love said, God is so good. I mean, she said, I wish I was able to see it, and God is so good. The spiritual part of it all, I mean, it's nothing like it, because even though I wasn't there, I could still feel something. It felt spiritual. I heard that some people had an effect from the eclipse. What type of effect do you think that anybody could receive besides the spiritual feeling? Is there any kind of other effect that people can feel from the eclipse?
I don't know. I think it's an individual thing. You know, it just depends on how the person looks at it. Some people cheered. They were happy. It was some people cried. Some people, they were just like in shock, in awe. So
you
it's an individual thing.
You mean people actually cried?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I wonder, I'm just curious. I wonder why they cried. Because... That's amazing that someone would cry or scream or shout or just go, yay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
You have all different types of reactions.
And how many people just where you were? Because I understand that it was millions of people. Millions.
Oh, yeah, it was, I don't know how many people. You know, they had all across the U.S. All across the U.S. people could see it. It may not have been a full eclipse, depending on where they live. But
yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I was in the path of totality.
Wow, the path of totality. That was the biggest two words that everybody was talking about. I want to be in the path of the totality of the eclipse. I heard people had cheese and crackers and wine and apples and sandwiches and pastrami's. It was like a tailgating
special
party.
Special T-shirts and telescopes and camera. I mean, you know, the scientists were there. They wanted to study and get good videos and good pictures. So, yeah.
Wow. I just can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. I know that, you know, you're a busy, busy young lady. And not only that, you're a well-educated young woman, mother, you know, you take your kids camping, you keep them in the know, you kept them.
They don't go anymore, so now I go by myself. My girlfriends are, most of them are too scared. They're
really?
Scared to get out there.
Well, you'll get them out of that being afraid. But I just want to go to our co-producers and see if they have a statement or a question for you. I'll start off with my sister, Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Sandy about the Great Northern Eclipse? Go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It was a pleasure and an honor to hear just you speak about what took place, and I really like how you are one that is to go wherever the eclipse will be. So
I'm working on it, yes.
And have a great time.
I will.
Wow. Thank you, Vera. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for our special guest, Sandy?
Yes, but before I do, first, let me just commend you, Pastor Eddie, for bringing our guest, Sandy, to this show and sharing with us this universal phenomenon that brings curiosity to not just people, but to plants, to animals, and like she said, scientists. And while I was listening to your wonderful interview with Sandy here, you presented some great questions. Sandy, you presented some excellent, phenomenal educational answers. And so while I was listening and you was explaining your experience and those around you, just so much that going through my mind now. It's just hard to be in one place because this experience of this eclipse and the interest that you take in being included with the experience at that point of the eclipse, I'm so grateful and thankful to hear you share that moment. And so when I was watching this eclipse last week, I was seeing where some people got engaged. There was a wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
Like you said, some people cried and people cheered. And they even showed how animals react. And so to say all
That's true, yes.
My question to you is this cosmic, I don't know what to call it, but I don't know what to call it, the gratitude, the joy, the thankfulness of the being that experience and the spirituality included with that. Can you say anything else that you might have missed that where, you know, the awe, you use that word, and I would use it agree with you on that, the honest of being there in that essence where it went dark and you could feel the presence of that spirit passing over you and maybe even through you. Could you even go even a little deeper there? Anything else you might can relate to us with that?
I don't know. I'm not very well spoken, but I can say that for me it was more of, you know, just thinking of everything that has to happen with the earth, the moon, the orbits, the sun, for that to happen the way it happened. That's just, to me, it's just showing God's work, you know, right in your face. That's nothing that anybody can they can start or they can stop. All they can do is stand there and look. It just shows the power of God to me.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give Sandy a big hand. Let's give her a big hand.
Hey, wow. Pastor Eddie, I just want to ask you one thing. Do you remember last week when you introduced me on the show and I played that 50 mentioned record, Age of Aquarius?
Yes, I remember that.
You know, I think that is, you know, related to the eclipse in some kind of way. I don't know if we is in that zodiac sign time right now of Aquarius, but I thought that was just something special.
Yeah, I remember that song, The Age of Aquarius. Remember that, Sandy?
I do, yes.
Wow. Aquarius. Yeah, I remember that song. I'll never forget that song. Sandy, I'm so honored to have you on this morning. Not only have you been educational, not only have you been uplifting and informative, somebody. I've already had people already. Oh, Darlene Anderson on Instagram said, good morning, Sandy. How are you? And Sister Felita Will said, good morning. And Tina Smith said, I am an Aquarius. Hey, Tina, how are you? Welcome to the show. Tina said, I am an Aquarius. Well, you know, when you think about astrology and astronomers and the way that they talk about the stars lining up and the planets lining up, what is the phenomenon for you, Sandy? What did you get out of knowing that these things are all, God just did an amazing justifying feat, but give me your opinion on that.
How everything happens?
Yes, how everything happens, how the planets actually line up, which is unbelievable. And the stars.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I'm like, oh my God.
And like I said, it just shows, you know, the power of God. Man can't duplicate that. All they can do is stand there and look.
Yeah, they,
and
you
know, look
man,
up at the sky, and you're used to seeing a bright disc shining back at you, and you look up there and you see a black dot. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, wow, it's amazing. Well, I want to thank you, and I want you to give us your closing remarks on how you feel about the show and the seeing the eclipse and all of that. Whatever is in your heart, you know. Just go ahead on and you could spill it all out right now. Give us your feelings and your closing remarks.
I think it's a good thing to be able to get together with people and different people, you know, have their opinions and talk about relevant subjects that are, you know, affecting people here. I think that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, without further ado, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being a guest on our show. Will you come back one day if we find another eclipse that might happen before the 20th? Will you come back and share some more phenomenons with us? Maybe we should talk to you about and maybe one day we can interview you about camping because you're not afraid to camp. You're a woman. It's not a lot of women campers who
I'm
go out.
I'm sometimes afraid, but, you know, I go for it. I go for it.
Amen.
You got to overcome your fears sometimes. To grow.
Do you have bear spray?
Huh?
Do you have any bear spray for the bears?
I do have bear spray, but I also have a little camper now, so I don't have to do the tent unless I actually want to.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. Everybody shouting you out. Everybody give a big shout out. Everybody say have a wonderful day to Sandy. Go ahead on co-producers.
Have a great day,
Sandy.
Sandy,
thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you.
Have a good day, and I'll be looking forward to Pastor Eddie and interviewing you again.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, thank you. Let's give her another big hand. Chandra Daniel said, have a wonderful day. Tina Smith said, have a wonderful day. Everybody's saying, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Sandy.
All right.
Anything else? Anything
Thank you
else
so much.
Anything
it's time for me
close?
To go to bed. I worked last night.
Oh, go ahead and get that rest. God bless you. And, you know,
all right.
Of
bless you guys.
Take care. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. That was our special guest, Sandy. Amen, amen. Praise God from whom our blessings flow. It was such an honor to have her on. And as Clarence said, just to talk about it, Felita Wilson gave a big hand for her. That was a good interview because, to see the eclipse up close and personal, that is an amazing justifying feat to feel it and everything, to know that you were there in Texas, where they said it was going to be. But I want to go back. I want to go back to our second topic. Our second topic, let's talk about the life and legacy of the one and only Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, a.k.a. The Juice, number 32. A lot of people, when he died, you know, they're like, oh, yeah. No, not a lot of people. I'm just saying A lot of people thought he was guilty, but he wasn't guilty. He wasn't guilty. They found him not guilty. So how can we say that he's guilty when they found him not guilty? They said that, you know, but Johnny Cochran said, if it does not fit, you must acquit. Johnny Cochran put the beanie on, the beanie didn't fit. And they did everything. Mark Furman planted the blood in O.J. Simpson's car, and he was a detective for the LAPD, which discredited the LAPD from all their accusations on what they said he did. But wait a minute. I want to compare something for all those people who were hating on O.J. Simpson. All those people who were hating on him. Did you know how much money he gave to charity? Did you know how much money he gave to the Red Cross and other entities of helping people? A whole lot. A whole lot. Not only that, don't forget Carolyn Bryant is the Caucasian white female who accused Emmett Lewis Till of whistling at her, which he never did. But he ended up being castrated. His ear was cut off, beat to death, hung, and shot. And his mother left the coffin open. But well, look, when Carolyn Bryant finally died, just like maybe a year ago or so, nobody said, I'm so glad she's dead. Why would somebody say that they're so glad that OJ's dead? Well, guess what? OJ was a human being just like Carolyn Bryant was a human being. Okay? She did something wrong that her husband finally came to her one day and said, did that really happen? Don't forget Rosewood. Don't forget Rosewood, where all the African Americans had their own businesses. They had cleaners, grocery stores, ice cream parlors, real estate businesses. And guess what? One female white Caucasian woman lied and said that a black man raped her, and he didn't. She was having an affair with another guy who was a male Caucasian, and she never wanted to tell the truth about what really happened. Well, it caused the death and the destruction of the whole city called Rosewood. You read it for yourself. And so we have to think about when we put a title on somebody saying, oh, I'm glad they're dead. No, I'm never glad anybody's dead because we don't know the circumstances. Just like I told you this morning, what happened on Resurrection Sunday when Denzel, the youth minister, Denzel Branch, who was married to Brianna Branch, started having an affair with the keyboard player, which was the pastor's son. His name was Joshua Andrews. And if you didn't hear about it, the youth minister was shot to death at the church on Easter Sunday by the guy that she was having an affair with, and they both were at the same church in the church parking lot, killed and dead. So I'm just saying I don't wish that on anybody. And as a civil rights talk show, we're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I just want to review one more thing before we see. Let's go here. O.J. Simpson played in the TV show Saturday Night Live. He played in The Heat of the Night from 1988 to 1995. He played in the comedy The Naked Gun. I don't know if you ever seen it, but it's so funny. He did The Naked Gun from The Files of the Police Squad. He did the movie Roots in 1977. He was in the movie The Towering Inferno in 1974. Naked Gun 33 and a Third, 1994. The Naked Gun 2 and a Half, 1991. He was on the show called Dragnet, and he did the commercial. I know you remember him from the Hertz commercial when he's jumping over there trying to hurry up. He put Hertz Rent-A-Car on the map, and they made millions and millions of dollars off of him. So I'm just saying, he. Matter of fact, no one has broke his record on the football field yet. Okay, but the only thing people have been focusing on is the trial and when he went to jail for the memorabilia. Well, look, I've got to be honest with you. If somebody stole my memorabilia, I would get it back, but I don't, like I advised him when I talked to him on the phone, that's not the way to get it back. That wasn't the way to do it. And so I had the privilege to actually work with him twice. And the first time was to help him release his book. And let's go right here. His book was called I Want to Tell You. And that was the story of O.J. Simpson from his point of view on what was going on during, you know, all these accusations about him killing Nicole. Well, look, Nicole owed the organized crime figures a lot of money for cocaine. OJ tried to pay the money off, and they didn't let him do it. They didn't let him do it. They took matters into their own hand. Now, if OJ did it, you know how hard it is to stab two people to death. I mean, that is a, I can't even imagine it. He should have had cuts all over his hand. Blood should have been all over his Bronco. But it was only drops of blood in his Bronco. And matter of fact, let's just keep it real. If O.J. wouldn't have did the freeway chasing the Ford Bronco wouldn't have never been as famous as it is to this day. They brought it back. People have been buying Broncos like crazy. But you know what? Here's a big shout out. I want to shout out O.J.'s kids who had to go through this stuff and they're still going through it. Oh, you're O.J.'s kids. They're probably labeling them. They probably have to have security when they go out. So I want to send a shout out to O.J.'s children, which I've had the privilege to meet. And I want to send a shout out to O.J.'s grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and the rest of the O.J. Simpson family. I send my love, my deepest condolences and sympathies, and I don't wish death on any human being. That is the work of God. At least God allowed him to live till he was 76 years old. He did his time. He paid his dues for whatever he did. So with that being said, I'm going to go back to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence, I want to ask you, man, Carolyn Bryant, that's the one who lied on Emmett Till and said he whistled. I didn't hear nobody saying that they hope that she dies. Go right ahead, take the floor. In comparison to these two things that we're discussing right now on the show, just want to get your opinion. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was listening to you as you were speaking up on Carolyn Bryant and how she recently passed and lying upon Emmett Till. And, you know, as I was listening to that and, you know, was thinking about God, how gracious, how merciful and forgiving he is. And when I think of the suffrage of our ancestors through slavery and all the rapes, and you mentioned Rosewood, and there are so many other towns that were burned and pillaged by our European American citizens, if I can speak it that way. And you know, if this God is so merciful, so gracious and forgiving, and to allow all these years to go by where she lived.
Right.
From lying in the atrocity that happened to Emmett Till. It proves how merciful a God we worship and praise, you know?
Yes.
And it may not be fair or feel fair, if I can use that word, to some of us, because we might want to have revenge or take revenge, but that's for God to do. You know, and, you know, I was thinking about this O.J. thing, and I think one thing that we may not have covered was O.J. put something in motion that ever since he done it, it's been one of the most viewed things that happened in today's media, and that was his slow speed chase.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
When he was on that freeway, he was going at such a speed that people came out and got on the freeways with signs and posters, and they were cheering. And I mean, but before that, Pastor Eddie, and to our listeners, we always had high-speed chases. There were movies, and I remember the old cop show, Highway Patrol. Every episode was a car chase.
Yes.
You know? And you look at Western, there were horse chases. But when O.J. got in that Bronco, and he was on the phone with his friend because he was overwhelmed with stress, trying to make the right decision, didn't know what to do to that would keep him alive at that time. So he was under a lot of pressure. And when
yes,
people came out on those freeways And I believe this was probably one of the first experiences where we saw these kind of chases from being televised from helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
He made a historical event with that right there, Pastor Eddie. And to all our listeners, you know, once again, our sympathies go out to the Simpson family, to all his fans, his friends, and man, you know, he's going to be somebody that will always be talked about, even when we're not here to talk about it.
Wow. That thank you for saying that. That's man, Clarence, you broke it down. Let's give Clarence a big hand there. Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't know this, too. Let's see. Wait, I want to pull something up really quick. Here we go. There we go. This case, the O.J. Simpson trial, at that time, the case sparked debates on race, gender, domestic abuse, celebrity, justice, and police misconduct. This case opened up police misconduct. Do you know how many cops have had people put in prison for years and years and years for things they didn't do for people of color? I don't even want to go there. First Lady Felita Wolf said, people do bad and wrong things every day, so nobody can talk about anybody else. We can't judge anyone because just like Jesus said in John 8:7, he who was without sin, let him throw the first stone. You better go ahead, First Lady. Praise God. Let's give her a big hand on that one. Vera and Clarence, what do you think about what First Lady Felita Wills just said? Go right ahead, y'all.
Hello, Felita. You're phenomenal. I just love all your inputs. I'm taking notes, and you just give us ideas and show us things that we may not see, and I know I didn't look at it in that way.
Wow. And Vera, a.k.a. Dr. Granny V, are you there?
Yes, I am, Eddie. Outstanding. I love First Lady Felita Wilkes. I love her point of view.
Me too. And let me tell you guys something. For those who didn't know, this was the trial of the 20th century. Out of all the trials they ever had, this was the biggest trial in the entire world. Everybody around the world was watching the O.J. Simpson case from all over the world. Reporters came from England, Africa, Uganda, Australia, Japan, China, Russia. They came from all over the world to witness this, the biggest case in the history of criminal cases in the world. Imagine that. Bigger than the Michael Jackson case. Bigger than all these other cases. The trial of the century, of the 20th century. You know, I got to tell you. And a lot of people don't understand. O.J. Simpson was a household name. He just wasn't somebody just walking around. He worked hard to become the best running back in the NFL. He worked hard to become an actor. He had to go to acting school, but he did a pretty good job. He did a real good job. And not only that, he left a legacy that we will remember never to forget. I want to thank his family for loaning him to us, you know, and I know what he went through. But like First Lady Felita Wills said, people do bad and wrong things every day. So nobody can talk about anybody else. We can't judge anyone because just like Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 7, he who was without sin, let him throw the first stone. That is, that's so well said and so duly noted. Man, that was a great statement. With that being said, I want to close out. It's about 10:24, and I want to have plenty of time to do our regular segment. And I want everybody to take their time. I want to talk about one more thing about this OJ thing before we close out. Did y'all know that OJ loved God? Did y'all know that? He actually asked me to pray for him when he was going through his thing about his book, and he asked me to do the press conference. He asked for prayer, and I prayed with him. And it just goes to show you that he was a human being with two legs and two arms like anybody else. He had a right and left leg to put his pants on with. And a lot of times he just wanted to be accepted as just a human being, not a superstar. He already knew his capabilities, but he just wanted to be remembered and not forgotten for the great things that he did. And he was set up. You saw the setup in the case. Like Sandy said on the show, the trial was sloppy on behalf of the prosecution. Mark Furman and the misconduct of the police department, LAPD, was smeared. They looked so bad during this trial because they planted blood in his car and two of the valves came up missing, and the valves were in a secret compartment where nobody could get to them except for LAPD, and that's where they put Mark Furman in. And do you know that he retired? Well, they fired him, but then he also retired where all the crooked police officers retired, which I'm not even going to say it. I don't know if it's Colorado or wherever, but they found him guilty, and I don't understand why he didn't go to prison for that. Hey, Clarence, did he go to prison for that? Did he go to jail?
OJ did do 7 years.
No, not OJ, Mark Furman. Mark Furman, did Mark Furman go to prison for lying under oath?
I think he did.
Can you Google that real quick? And I want to get some, if so, I want to get some statistics on that and make sure we're giving the right information to our listeners. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe Mark Furman went to jail, and then after he got out, he disappeared in the secret places where bad cops retire. And he was a very, very bad cop. And imagine if he was doing that on OJ, imagine what he was doing to, even on the Rodney King thing, how they beat that man. Like he, you know, it was ridiculous. But it led to the Rodney King violent riots when they did not put those police officers in prison for what they did, and they let them walk. The city went to fire. And people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're not going to, this new generation we have now, they're not taking it. They're not taking it. Oh, here we go. Let's read some statistics to you. On October the 2nd, Mark Furman accepted the deal and pleaded no contest to the charges. He was sentenced to 3 years probation and fined $200. Furman is the only person to have been convicted of a criminal crime. Even though, thank you so much, First Lady Felita Wolf, even though, now look at this. This guy lied, he planted blood. He stole the blood, planted the blood. Did you hear? He received 3 years of probation and fined $200. How redundantly ridiculous is that? You do the math. Here they are trying to put OJ in prison for life for a murder he did not commit. And this Mark Furman plants blood, steals evidence, plants the evidence, and thank you so much. And then on top of that, only gets 3 years of probation and a $200 fine. Whew, Lord have mercy. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, but that's not my ending for this right here. You know, a lot of people are saying these days that, you know, hey, OJ this and OJ that about the OJ trial. Well, I'm just saying. They're never going to stop talking about the O.J. trial, the biggest trial of the century. They'll be talking about that 20 years from now. If they bring up the trial, they'll start talking about it all over again. Everybody, and it was like a soap opera on TV. It was like As the World Turns, All My Children. It was a soap opera, and everybody was watching. It didn't matter what nationality you were, good, bad, in between, white, black, Asian, Ethiopian, everybody watched the OJ trial. And so in closing, and first let me just get some closing remarks from Vera. Vera, what are your closing remarks on the OJ trial? and just OJ's life and everything overall. Go right ahead.
Well, Eddie, as you stated, there has not been any other like it. So that's my response.
Thank you, Vera, a.k.a. Dr. Granby. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Give us your closing remarks on the O.J. Simpson legacy, life, and the trial. Go right ahead.
OJ, go OJ. I apologize. I was in my little freeway moment when he was being chased. You know, they was up there saying, go OJ, go. He was being cheered on, I mean, even while being chased by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Amen.
I remember as a young man, him running. As a running back for USC, and I remember when he made it to the NFL, you know, he had that buffalo on his helmet, and he was running just like that buffalo in the NFL, you know. Very few players who could run over men like him, with Jim Brown, Walter Payton, and I'm trying to think his name that played for the Houston Oilers, Earl Campbell. He was one elite running back. He was such a phenomenal running back that Hurts put him in that running commercial, running through going to get that rental car, you know.
Right.
Airport, hurtling over chairs with his suit jacket folded over his arm. I'm letting you know that the life and legacy of O.J. Simpson cannot be imitated, shall not be duplicated. That's a phenomenal man in history, regardless of the hashtag black mark that the American media and this case nation attempted to put upon him. So long live O.J., go O.J., and sympathies to the Simpson family.
Amen. Hallelujah, praise God. Well, with that being said, let's get our caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Good morning. Caller in the 323-646. Are you there? Okay, let's put them on hold. Okay. So with that being said, it is time for Health and Wellness with Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. Hey, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, we see you out there. Hey. Without further ado, Vera, take the floor and take your time. Give us health and wellness. Go right ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Thank you, Eddie. And I will take my time. As Uncle Harold said from the SOS band, take your time. Thank you. So, before I begin, I have a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk, I am Dr. Granny V, and I am sharing education, entertainment, and knowledge. And always do your own research, because everything is not for everyone. So today I will speak about salt. Okay, and we can go back to the biblical days. It's in the Bible that salt is, there is the state of salt on the earth. And so when we're speaking about the salt of the earth, I'm speaking about the goodness that we all have. Back in Matthew, speaking about goodness, loyalty, hope, joy, and addition to devotion. And by doing so, we have lots of love, kindness, and joy, most of all. But let's talk about salt. Okay, so the salt that we use daily is used to enhance and wake up the flavor of our food. Some will put salt on their food before tasting, but we have to be careful because everything, in almost everything, there is salt, and especially in processed foods. And too much of anything, it's not really good for us at all. And it is said that we should have like a fourth of a teaspoon of salt per day, but however, we have much, much more. And many people will have cravings for salt, and then that's when they'll go get the fast foods, the potato chips, just the different things, that, or just pour a load of salt on their food. And sometimes when we have too much salt, guess what you'll feel? You'll feel muscle cramps. You'll feel stressed out. Your blood pressure will rise. You have very high sodium levels. Your hands and your feet will swell. And guess what? You'll be dehydrated. And it also can cause failure with your kidneys and an enlarged heart. So with me, back in the past, I had too little salt in my body. So from there, I had a thyroid disorder. So I started researching different types of salt to use. And then I will speak on the different types of salt that are my favorites. But let's go back to what salt is used for. Now, we use salt to clean our drain, our clothes, to remove stains. If you have dry skin or itchy skin, to gargle, or as a mouthwash. Now, there's also a salt lamp, or perhaps you're at a spa. Go in the salt room, because that helps improve your mood. It helps clean the air. It increases energy and decreases stress. Now, there are a couple of different types of salt that I just wanted to mention today. And do you guys remember growing up on the Morton's table salt with the little girl that had the umbrella?
Yeah.
It's not really great salt to use today because it is said that it may cause very high blood pressure if used too frequently. And also, there are a couple of artificial items that are added to that particular salt. But we didn't know that back in the day. So now they have black Hawaiian salt, and it's black from the lava. We have the coarse kosher salt. We have the sea salt, especially the Himalayan. That's
yes.
One of my favorites. We have the green salt, which is it's a plant-based salt, and it has less 50% less sodium. And also we have a Celtic, which is number one. It's Celtic salt. And those of you that have a very high or very low, it is okay to have some Celtic salt in the morning with a little warm water, and it kind of improves your electrolytes. It helps prevent muscle cramps, regulates your heartbeat, blood pressure, and increases energy. And it also stimulates bowel movement, so that Celtic salt is one of the very best. Now, we have Epsom salt, which a lot of us use Epsom salt when we're feeling tired, fatigued. It's to improve circulation, relief from swelling, our muscles, joints, and for pain. And then some others will use Epsom salt as a spiritual bath. But if you have high blood pressure or you are a diabetic, I do not recommend using Epsom salt at all. Instead, you can substitute with apple cider vinegar. And just let me go over to the Himalayan salt. Now, the Himalayan salt, the pink salt, I like that one as well. It has a lot of minerals and electrolytes. Now, we can cook with that, add a little flavor to our food. Use it as a sore throat aid. Use it if you have migraines. You can use that as a foot scrub, a scalp scrub, and it also helps regulate our water content retention in our body. One other good salt that I may mention, which I have not tried just yet, is called Redmond Real Salt. I haven't tried it, but I will in the future. And in closing, one of my favorite place to be on planet Earth is the beach, the salt of the earth at the beach, because it rejuvenates us. We have vitamin D that we're getting. We can hear the music to our ears. The water is our music, and it elevates our soul, our spirits, and our immune system. I don't think there's anyone that has gone to the park or beach and has come back mad or angry. So in closing, try substituting if you're using too much salt. Try lemon juice or lemon peel. You can use low-sodium seasonings like moustache, balsamic vinegar. You can use seaweed. Put that in your soup. It's great. Everything bagel or nutritional yeast. And if you have too much, you can kind of decrease by just adding a couple of things like bone broth or coconut water to your weekly diet. And guess what? Perhaps your cravings will dissipate. So that is my segment for today, Health and Wellness. Thank you for listening.
All right. That was really wonderful. Wow, that was wonderful. Now, you know to be careful with that salt, boy, because that salt is good salt and it's bad salt. So make sure you do the right thing. And health and wellness is extremely important on our show. And every week we have health and wellness, and we have a lot of different segments on our show that are so important. I want to send a shout-out to all. Felita Wills gave you a big hand, and Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry said, God bless us all. He wish he could be here with us. I want to send a big shout-out to Sister Tina Smith. Thank you so much. And here's one new comment. Let's see what that new comment says. And Felita Wilson gave a big hand on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you so much, First Lady. Without further ado, it's time for a very important – oh, yeah. Professor Reams won't be here for the commentary. He had to do something this morning with his university. So Clarence and Malin will probably be stepping into another big pair of shoes with the commentary for the show today. But without further ado, it's time for Clarence and Malin to take the floor with Regulate the Manual. Regulate the Manual, another wonderful, uplifting segment of our show. Go right ahead, Clarence, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to the panelists, but especially thank you to our wonderful guests we had this morning and our wonderful listeners and followers throughout this radio show and social media. This year, I've been reading from a book titled Born in Blackness, Africa, Africans, and the Making of the Modern World from 1471 to World War II by the author Howard W. French. Becoming Creole early in the 16th century, in the very same era that Sao Tome was beginning to piece together its vocation as a leading sugar-growing plantation society and crucial interpot for the early American slave trade, Elmina was laying another foundational piece in the construction of the new transatlantic civilization. There, beginning in the aprons of Sao George, the Portuguese fort, a large villa that went on to become a bustling town, and eventually, by the standards of the middle of the 17th century, an unusual cosmopolitan global city. To get a sense of what this means, Elmina, 15 to 20,000 residents made it considerably large than the New Amsterdam, soon to be New York, of that day, or even New Orleans of a century hence. But what was most novel and important about Elmina in this age was less its size than the unusual nature of the society that emerged and the thriving there for decades. More especially still, it was its unique makeup, composed not just of blacks and whites, but also of new social category that had just begun to arise in places like this, where at African suffering, European and indigenous populations remain in deep and extended contact in pursuit of the mutually profitable commerce exchange. Here we are speaking of the population that went by the name of Creole, a polyvalent term that can lend to some confusion. In America, as we have seen, Creole often came to mean simply born in the New World. In other uses, Creole could become a linguistic term, significantly hybrid languages that were spawned in pieces where Europeans and Africans traded, especially among the enslaved. Here, though, we intend for it to mean a distinctly new class of culturally and frequently racially mixed people who were literally offspring of these sorts of intercontinental contacts. Amina was by no means the only, nor for that matter, even the first place where members of this new class of people rose. In the 15th century, both Portuguese Catholics and new Christians had use in the islands of Cape Verde as a base to prospect for trade throughout the western bulge of Africa and the Senegambia of Upper Guiana, as some white traders prospered building solid networks in areas that lay inland from the African coast. They began to produce children with local women, sometimes as a matter of official alliances with chiefs. These Luso Africans provide perhaps the earliest examples in the formation of the Afro-European Creole culture. The experiences of the French traders, explorer, and the Seneca River likewise generated its own class of Creoles, as did Sao Tome a bit later. Coastal West Africa, of course, was the only place that brought blacks and whites into extended contact. A Nuremberg physician named Hieronymus Munzer, who visited Lisbon in 1494, was surprised to discover that people from the south of the Sahara were being tortured there in special schools set up to teach them Latin and theology. It seemed unlikely that he would have known that this was being done largely at the behest of the sovereigns of the Kingdom of Congo, which had dispatched the children of its own nobles there. And I think I'm going to stop there, but maybe we all might have received some documentary of history that we may have not known. And if you like more, you can go to Amazon and look for this book, Born in Blackness, by Howard W. French, Africa, Africans, and the Making of the Modern World, from 1471 to World War II. Thank you for listening.
Wow, man, that was amazing. Man. Yeah. That was Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual, giving you some history from some very important historical moments in history for African Americans. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. On this show, we keep it real. It's the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns. First Lady Felita Wills gave you a big hand. I want to shout out my buddy, Eddie Gibbs. What's up, Eddie Gibbs, man? We went to elementary school, middle school, and high school together. We've been knowing each other for, I ain't even going to say how many years, but I'm glad. I'm very glad. And Vera gave a big hand for you, too, Brother Clarence. The time right now is 10:48 a.m. We're almost about to close out, but we cannot close out without the commentary. I want to thank all of our special guests that came on today. And I want to thank matter of fact, let me give you the scripture of the week and the word of the week. The word of the week and the scripture of the week. So get your pen and paper out so you can write it down. So our word of the week is service. When's the last time you've done some service for somebody else? Don't be afraid to do some service, okay? Because, you know, giving is what it's all about. You can do service in a lot of different ways. Our scripture of the week is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Write it down. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. And it reads, get wisdom, exclamation point, get understanding, exclamation point. And that's our scripture of the week. Right on, Brother Eddie. Right on, my man. Proverbs 4 and 5, get wisdom, exclamation point, get understanding. In all our ways, we should get wisdom and we should get understanding. And that is our scripture. And without further ado, it's time for the commentary. I want to send a big shout out to Professor Raines, big shout out to Talana Jones, big shout out to Linda Goldie, big shout out to Aretha Adams Jones, all of our co-producers on the show right now. And today, Brother Clarence is going to be stepping into Professor Raines' shoes doing the commentary. Without further ado, it's 10:50 a.m. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Pastor Eddie, thank you to all our panelists and those who are not here today. And let's not forget Cousin V. You know, I'm going to do this one barefooted because there's no pair of shoes of Professor Raines that I could fit. He does this commentary in such a remarkable and educated way that I tell you, even these top media channels have nobody who could match his expertise, his knowledge, and his wisdom. And so, Pastor Ada, I just want to thank you for continuing to throw me in his closet, but I just can't fit his shoes. So thank you very much. And we had our special guest, Sandy, from Kingwood, Texas. You know, she's a very special lady because I learned that she loves to go to these sites that happens only during God's perfect time, where an eclipse event is about to occur and will occur. And she loves planning and going to these eclipses. And I found it so amazing and phenomenal because I remember years ago we had one in Los Angeles and how it got dark. And as the moon passed between the earth and the sun, and last week we covered this subject. And so for her to come on as, if I will, can say a part two of these eclipses, it was such phenomenal, and how she likes to go camping. And one thing I like to say to our guests, if she ever come, because these shows are archived, go to blogtalkradio.com. Hit Eddie Justice Jones Jr. _ Productions. And you can listen to this show right there on the internet, or you can go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr., Eddie Jones Jr. on Facebook and Instagram and search it for his page, and you can actually watch him produce his show visualized. And so when we look at this, and I wanted to relate to her that I had the opportunity to go to one of our national parks, Glacier National Park, up here at the most northern part of Montana. And up there, the top of the mountains, you know, you have those Rocky Mountains that stretches from Montana that goes through Utah and maybe even a portion of Idaho, and down a piece of Arizona, and even the foot is Nevada, where you get those Grand Canyons down there. And so when you're up in Glacier, you know, they call this Big Sky Country. And when you're up in that national park, you're able to experience the what they call that northern sphere up there, where you get those different colors, and the stars are right there at your face. And then where I live now, you know, we're going to soon be experiencing, the bears are going to be coming out of hibernation. So we get that. And so it made me think of that when our special guest Sandy talked about her fear for camping, because we do have wildlife and we have to respect the wildlife because that's their home. So whatever you do, if you go camping, make sure you research some rules for camping. You know, make sure you clean up before you leave, not leaving loose food laying out, because you don't want certain wildlife to come around trampling in your campsite. And so we talked about Orenthal James Simpson. the phenomenal number 32. Go, OJ, go. You know, his life, his legacy, his football career, his movie career, giving to nonprofits and all of that. So this was a phenomenal man, and then something happened where he was accused of murdering his wife and a tenant on the property, and he had this slow speed chase, which was the beginning of what we see today on our media with these high speed chases. So he is the founder of that legacy of what we see on TV. And, you know, Pastor Eddie had the opportunity of working with OJ several times, and I have to commend you, Pastor Eddie, because, man, it's hardly a celebrity, movie star, a person of importance that you haven't worked with in some kind of way. You have flown across America and the United States. I think your next goal is you're going to be taking an international flight somewhere, solving one of the world's problems. You might be going down there in Israel and solving that problem down there. You might be headed up there in Northern Europe where Russia is attacking Ukraine. You might have to go up there and work some of those issues out, Pastor Eddie. You just might be the man for the job. And so when we look at this, and then O.J. Simpson's dream came, you know, man, we saw some phenomenal things. And I have to just mention the Rodney King beating, because during those early times of those 90s, we saw where black men, and we had two prominent big, huge guys. And, you know, black men were described as being big, black, and dangerous. So when you look at how they depicted this, you know, after no small guy like me, you know, they went after guys who was above 6 feet, above 200 pounds, and America wanted to make example of them. But we see where justice prevailed in both cases, where it divided this nation with race. You sit on this side, I sit on this side. Made me think of the Oprah Winfrey Show, which had followed up on the O.J. Simpson case. And you saw one side where blacks were cheering during the verdict, and the other side of the white audience, they were so quiet and displeased with that. And so O.J. Simpson was an extraordinary light to shine upon the wrongs of the United States and to help to make some of these things right. And so Dr. Granny V talked about salt. Be the salt of the earth. Season this planet with goodness. And so I love Dr. Granny V. She keeps telling us she is not a doctor. No, you are a doctor. You know, I have a thing where I'm saying I doctor based from around the way. I don't have no plaques on the wall, but I make house calls. Dr. Granny V, you might not have a plaque on the wall, but you're making radio show calls. You're making house calls. You're keeping us healthy. You're teaching us wellness. And so I applaud you with all the education that you bring us with life and life more abundantly to be healthy, with educating us about salts, these different salts that I had no information. I knew about the sea salt, the Himalayan salt, but you came with a few more, this Celtic salt and the black Hibernian salt or whatever that was.
Yes.
So I commend you on that. But to close out this commentary, I cannot do this like Professor Ream, but I give you my best every Monday morning, and I could not bring it to you without the head man who sticks the key in ignition and starts this limousine every Monday morning. Every Monday morning, tune in, because you are riding in the limousine a brand new 2024 limousine driven by Pastor Eddie Justice Jones. And at the television show, Professor Ream slams the trunk with his commentary. But I'm Clarence M. Allen this Monday morning, and you have been in tune to the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show, where we talk about my rights, your rights, human rights, civil rights, our constitutional rights. So thank you to that, Pastor Eddie. Thank you for having me again. God bless you all. We'll see you next Monday. Eddie Jones, Pastor Eddie, close us out.
Wow, that was amazing. Let's give him a big hand. I just want to thank everybody who's joined us, all my associates and friends, and wherever you are around the world. I know people are listening from all over the United States and other places around the world. Some people are on blogtalkradio.com. Some people are on Instagram. Some people are on Facebook Live, and some people have called into the show. So I just want to thank all the listeners. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your unconditional love, Chandra Daniels, Barbara Hubbard, my sister Vera, First Lady Felita Wilson and her husband, Pastor Charles, and Dr. Aretha, Linda Goldie, my daughter Tawana. I can't even name everybody. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, Brother Clarence M. Allen, just everybody that's on, thank you so much. Also, Mrs. Darlene Anderson on Instagram, and all the other people who came on Instagram. Tina Smith, I want to thank Tina Smith. I want to thank Sandy. I just can't thank everybody enough. Now, let me leave you with these three things. Number one, the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. That's number one. Number two, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And number three, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. And I want to do a special tribute to O.J. Simpson's family, Mrs. Marzette's family, and Dr. Cecil Chip Murray's family. And it goes a little bit like this. I couldn't seem to fall asleep. I had so much on my mind, searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray, pray and help me please. He said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll fulfill all your needs. As soon as I stop worrying about how the story ends, I let go and I let God. Let God have his way. That's when things start happening. I stop looking at back then. I let go and I let God. Let God have his way. There's so much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way. Oftentimes I struggle from day to day. Have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. Gotta know if I put it in his hands, everything's gonna be all right. Soon as I stop worrying about how the story ends, I let go and I let God have his way. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much. Everybody have a wonderful day. Everybody keep it up. Keep up the great, wonderful work. And a quick message from my daughter, Tawana, says, remember, everything is happening in its divine timing. Trust the process and have faith to be still. Wait till God provides a guide to let you know that it was only him who made miraculous things possible for your good. Amen. Those are the words of wisdom for today. Goodbye, First Lady. All right, Tawana, thank you so much. Everybody have a beautiful, wonderful day. And don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right.